Okay, our second reading is from Romans chapter 8, and that can be found on page 1134. So Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's great to be with you this evening. If you'd like to keep Romans 8 open, that would be fantastic as we look at this together. And let me pray just as we look at God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who speaks to us through your word by your Spirit, and pray tonight that you would lift our eyes to Christ. Pray that you would be at work powerfully in our lives through your word now. Amen. I wonder, as you sit here tonight, if someone asked you to sum up your life in a catchy phrase or a sort of neat tagline, what would you use to describe your life? A few from adverts and social media. You probably know the McDonald's one. Anyone shout that tagline out? I'm loving it, yeah. Or L'Oreal, because you're worth it. Or Instagram's tagline, capture and share the world's moments. What tagline would you use to describe your life? To change the illustration slightly, I was in Northern Ireland recently visiting Rachel's family. And one evening we were there, we went to visit her Nana's grave, as she hadn't been for a few years. But as we stood there by the graveside, I couldn't help noticing one of the gravestones nearby. Under the name of the person there, it simply had this one word, redeemed. Redeemed. And that's a great way, isn't it, to sum up the Christian. We have been redeemed. Here in Romans 8, though, maybe not as catchy, Paul provides us with two possible taglines for the Christian life. No condemnation would be one, and in Christ would be the other. You see, these two taglines sum up some of what it means to be a Christian. In fact, in the face of death, these two truths provide us with great assurance, don't they? Because I think in Romans 8, as we start this new series, Paul wants to provide us with great assurance here, if we've trusted in Jesus, if we're in Christ, that that is the banner that we can put over our lives in the face of death, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I think the first thing Paul wants to tell us this evening is be assured there is now no condemnation in Christ. Be assured there is now no condemnation in Christ. That's verses 1 to 4. Romans 8 has been likened to a river cruise of a famous city. It's one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. Many of you may know lots of verses from it. It has many famous landmarks, many famous lines. In fact, if you've ever been sent one of those slightly cheesy Christian greeting cards, no doubt you probably would have seen one of those verses from Romans 8 in it. Well, we're going to be spending the next 6 weeks on a summer holiday cruise of one of the most famous chapters of the Bible. Why not take the time, in the week, spending time enjoying and soaking in the great comfort of this wonderful chapter? You see, there are so many famous landmarks, aren't there, along the way. Like, if you're cruising down the River Thames, you'd see the London Eye, you might see the Millennium Dome, you might see Big Ben. Here, there are so many star attractions along the way as we look at Romans 8. One preacher who wanted to sum up this chapter said that the great theme is the security of the Christian. The great theme is the security of the Christian. And I think that probably sums up quite well this chapter. We certainly see it in the first part of this part of Romans 8. And as you've noticed, we're starting our series halfway through Romans. And since chapter 5, Paul has been explaining the impact of the gospel of justification by faith on the lives of believers. As he explained in chapter 5, we've been reconciled to God and are experiencing the reversal of Adam's sin. In chapter 6, he showed how believers have been set free from sin and death through their union with Christ. And if we have trusted in Christ, at the end of chapter 6, we see that we're no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. And then Paul goes on to talk about the entanglements of sin in chapter 7. And here in chapter 8, Paul moves on to talk about the key change that has happened if we've trusted in Jesus, that not only have we been reconciled to God, but we now live in the realm of the Spirit. We have God's Holy Spirit living inside of us if we're a Christian here tonight. See, Paul has referred to the Spirit only 6 times up to this chapter. And he refers to the Spirit 8 times after chapter 8. But here in chapter 8, Paul refers to the Spirit a whopping 19 times, and 11 of them in these 11 verses alone. So the Holy Spirit is clearly a key focus of this chapter. Did you notice how Paul started the chapter? He starts it with a bang, doesn't he? Verse 1, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." In fact, if you wanted to take it even more literally here, Paul starts the sentence with that word no, or not one, or nothing. You see, he wants to emphasize just how sweeping that no is here. There is no condemnation, nothing left at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is all gone. The condemnation that stood against us as humans for the way that we have lived in God's world. And in light of how we have lived, in turning away from the rightful ruler of the world, the good God who made every good thing that we enjoy, we deserve God's punishment, his rightful judgment for how we have lived. And God will call us to account when he returns at the end of time. I heard a talk explaining some of this when I was 15 at a summer camp. The speaker was speaking on Romans chapter 3. So it's a very dear book to me. I realized I had turned away from God and rejected the rightful ruler of my life. I deserved God's punishment for how I had lived in his world without reference to him. But as Romans 3 verse 23 reminds us, though we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You see, God enables us to return to him because of Jesus' death in our place for our rebellion. In fact, by chapter 8, Paul can remind us here in verse 1 that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is the banner across the Christian life, a bit like one of those banners that we can see behind me. There is now no condemnation for the Christian. The landscape has totally changed. And in Christ simply means we've trusted in Jesus' death in our place. We've accepted that we need Jesus to make us perfect in God's sight. We need someone else. We cannot do it ourselves. If we've trusted in Jesus, we've trusted in this rescue. That now that we're in Christ, this relationship is even more intimate than a marriage. You see, all that Christ has, his perfection, he shares with us, his status as the perfect Son of God. And all that we have, we give to Jesus, all of our sin. Jesus takes it all on the cross. And so now if we're in Christ, we have that status, don't we, as dearly loved sons and daughters. We're adopted into God's family through Jesus. But that's spoilers for next week. In verses 2 to 4, Paul unpacks what it means that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Have a look at verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. You see, through Jesus, we've been set free from the law of sin and death. We've been released, we've been loosed, we've been untied. But what is that law of the Spirit who gives life here? You see, it's an ambiguous phrase, isn't it? As it could refer to the Mosaic law, the law that we see in the Old Testament. But here, I think, he's talking about the power of God's Spirit to enable us to break free from the law of sin and death. The authority of the Spirit has set us free from the overwhelming authority of sin and death. Though in chapter 7, verse 7, we see that the law, as in the Mosaic law, was not sin. It was unable in itself to bring us life. Though the law given in the Old Testament was good, sin made it impossible to fulfill the law. But now in this new era, in Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death, of not being able to fulfill the law. We have God's Spirit, if we're a Christian here tonight, living within us. Paul goes on in verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man. You see, the law couldn't bring us life in itself because of the flesh, because of our sinful human condition. The law was powerless to help us live to please God. But what the law was powerless to do, God did, if you have a look at verse 2, by sending his own Son in the likeness of human flesh to be a sin offering. You see, God did what we could never do. God sent his Son in the likeness of human flesh, the second person of the Trinity. God the Son took on human nature. God the Son took on the likeness of human flesh. Jesus was made like us in every way, and yet he was without sin. The man, Christ Jesus, is the adequate sacrifice for us. No other sacrifice would do. And so God's Son became a sin offering. Jesus was the sacrifice that the whole Old Testament pointed to. He was the Lamb of God who John saw and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus was made to be sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, this Jesus took our sin, past, present, and future, so that we might be forgiven through what he did on the cross. In fact, did you notice it says Jesus condemned sin in the flesh? God has condemned sin through the death of his Son Jesus. So there is now no condemnation because Jesus took the pain. Jesus bore the wrath. Jesus died the death that we should have died so that we can go free. God condemned sin in the flesh. How amazing is that? Doesn't that make your heart want to sing? That this God, though we had lived in his world without reference to him, though we had gone our own way, though we loved his gifts and didn't give thanks to him, this God sent God the Son to condemn sin in the flesh. How amazing is that? God sent his Son Jesus to die the punishment that we deserve, to wipe the slate clean, to die so that we can now say there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that the perfect Son of God has made a way for us to go free. He's died for us, those who were on death row in God's sight. So when you hear that voice in your head that says you've messed up again, when you've returned to that sin again, when you hear that voice that says, how do you think God could care for you after what you've done? Do you really think that God could be interested in you after that? You can say, sinner that I am, God has taken the punishment that I deserved. I'm united to Christ. I stand clothed in his righteousness. I can say there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What an amazing assurance if we're a Christian here tonight. Have a look at verse 4 with me. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. You see, now that God has condemned sin through Christ, the righteous requirement of the law can be met in us as we live out our lives pleasing to God in the power of the Spirit. Right at the start of the book of Romans, Paul has said that God has saved us for the obedience that comes through faith. That's chapter 1, verse 5. You see, though we couldn't keep the law or fulfill the law in ourselves, now God has empowered us by his Spirit through the work of Christ to fulfill the law of God in our love for others. We won't do this perfectly now, but we have the power of the Spirit to help us to live in a way that pleases God. Our freedom from the law is not freedom to disobey it. God wants us now to live in a way that pleases him. I guess as we sit here tonight, that's a challenge, isn't it? We might think, oh, God doesn't mind what we do now. Jesus has died for us. We live under grace. We're forgiven. But God cares about how we live so much that he sent his son to die so that we can now live in a way that pleases him. Holiness, living in a way set apart to please God, should be the result of living by the Spirit. So just to recap, Paul wants us to be assured there is now no condemnation in Christ. That's verses 1 to 4. We've been given Jesus' perfect righteousness. So God looks on us as his dearly loved sons and daughters tonight if we're trusting in Jesus. We are totally secure. But more than that, he set us free by his Spirit to live in a way that now pleases him. And so I guess the question for us tonight is, are we living every area of our life in a way that pleases God? Is there some area we need to ask for God's help to live for him? Why not pray that God would help you right now to live to please him in that area? Well, secondly, be assured you now live in the realm of the Spirit. Be assured you now live in the realm of the Spirit. That's verses 5 to 11. Paul wants us to be assured if we're trusting in Jesus, we now live in the realm of the Spirit. Have a look at verse 5 with me. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. You see, living according to the sinful nature is clearly the opposite, isn't it, here, of what living in accordance with the Spirit does. You see, it's people who have their minds set on a fundamentally different direction who live according to the sinful nature. A bit like those discussions about Brexit, the dreaded Brexit, it's clear that some sides of the argument are set on a particular path. The Conservatives want to take us out, to leave the European Union on the 31st of October, whereas the Lib Dems want us to stay in, don't they? They want us to remain in the European Union. And these two sides have fundamentally different goals. One wants to stay in and one wants to leave. And it tilts the whole direction of their policies in a particular direction. And it's the same here in verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. Whereas those who live according to the Spirit have their lives, their whole life set on a different course. Paul unpacks this further in verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Well, why is this? Verse 7. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Do you see the difference here? The life which says, no one else can lay a claim on my life. I make the rules. I do what I want. This life, the life of the sinful nature is hostile to God. And in fact, verse 8, all those who live according to the sinful nature cannot please God. It just isn't possible. Their lives are set on a different trajectory. That is why in verse 6, Paul says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. You see, those people who live according to the sinful nature might be very gifted, they might be very nice people, they might even be nicer than some Christians that we know. But if they are living according to the sinful nature, however nice they are, they're still in a totally different realm. Their lives are set on a totally different trajectory. They're unable to please God. And so their lives are headed to death as God rightfully judges us for how we have lived our lives without reference to him. That is the spiritual reality of all humanity opposed to God. So I must ask you tonight, which side are you on? Which side are you on? Are you living according to the sinful nature? Or are you living according to the Spirit? Because if you're living according to the spiritual nature, you're on a dangerous path, and it will lead to death, in fact to eternal condemnation in a place that the Bible calls hell. I must ask you, are you aware of the great danger that you're in if you're not trusting Jesus tonight? If you continue to live your life your way without reference to God, you are headed for destruction. God will justly condemn you for living in his world and totally ignoring him, totally cutting off his rightful and rule over your life. Which side are you on? Which realm are you in? Well, have a look at verse 9 by contrast. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Did you see the contrast there? You, however, or but you, which is even more literal. Paul says, you Christians, all you who have trusted in Christ are in a fundamentally different realm. You've crossed the border, the realm of the Spirit. The Spirit lives in you if you're trusting in Jesus tonight. Be assured, if the Spirit of God lives in you, you are in the realm of the Spirit. You're controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Have a look at verse 10. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. What an amazing direction your life is headed in if you're a Christian here tonight, that though on the one hand your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives you life, or the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, though if Christ is in you, though your body will die, though your body is subject to death as a result of sin, your spirit is life because you've been given the gift of righteousness through Christ. You live in the realm of the Spirit if you're a Christian here tonight. And this means, verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. If you've zoned out, don't miss this. If you have the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead in you, then this Spirit, yes, the same that raised Christ from the dead, this Spirit will give life to your mortal body. How amazing is that? Just drink that in for a minute. What a privilege as a Christian, if you're sat here tonight, if you've trusted in Jesus, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. And this Spirit will raise us too to new everlasting life, perfect everlasting life with God. So Paul says, be assured, if you have trusted in Jesus, you live in the realm of the Spirit. And this Spirit, which raised Jesus from the dead, will do the same for us. How amazing is that? What a privilege that we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. The Spirit who, because we are in Christ, will raise us, our mortal bodies, to everlasting life in a renewed creation, a far better world that God is making. What a hope we have if we're a Christian here tonight. That a God who cannot lie, a God who keeps his promises, is promising to raise us to new life with him in a restored
and beautiful and perfect world. So this God tonight wants to assure us of two things. That firstly, there is now no condemnation if we're in Christ. And secondly, that we now live in the realm of the Spirit. What amazing security we have if we've trusted in Jesus tonight, that we have a completely new relationship with God through Jesus, that we are now clothed in his righteousness. We are free from condemnation. So the banner over our lives, the tagline reads, "Not condemned." More than that, perfectly loved by God the Father through Jesus. You see, even on our worst day, even when we have sinned again, even on our worst day, God is smiling over our lives. We live as those who have peace with him through what Jesus has done, because we are in Christ, because we have trusted in him. And more than that, we live as those in the realm of the Spirit. This means when we die, the same Spirit that raised Jesus will raise us to new, to eternal life with God in that restored world. So as we close, whose side are you on? You see, if you're not in Christ, be warned. You are headed for destruction. But if you are in Christ, be assured God is taking you to a glorious future that he has prepared for you. There are more amazing sights we're going to see in Romans 8 as we carry on over these next few weeks about the great security that we have in Christ, but I'll leave it there for now. But what amazing assurance we can have that, as in the words of the song we're about to sing in a few minutes, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold, I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own." Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this word to us in Romans 8. Thank you that if we've trusted in you, that there is now no condemnation. Lord, that you look on us as your perfectly loved sons and daughters. Thank you that more than that, we have your Spirit living in us to help us to live lives that please you. Thank you for that great hope that one day that same Spirit will raise us to new and eternal life with you. Lord, we thank you for those great truths tonight. Please would you continue to encourage and press them on our hearts for your glory. Amen.